But I do have a question to start out with this morning. How many of you have a favorite scripture? Raise your hand if you have a favorite scripture. Okay, Bill, can you recite your favorite scripture?
I've got so many to choose from.
Okay.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will transcend your heart and mind in Christ.
Wow, awesome. Who else has got one they want to share this morning? Anyone else? Okay.
I can do all things to Christ, but I can't do it.
Okay.
Philippians 4:13.
There you go.
That's another one.
All right.
Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, because you are the one that I
serve. Amen. Amen. And mine is Jeremiah 29:11. Probably all you know that by now. For I know the plans that you have for me, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper me, not to harm me, but to give me a hope and a future. And the reason why I asked you to talk about these this morning is I'm going to have Bill read Psalms 23 this morning. Go ahead, Bill.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Bill. You know, the psalm before Psalm 23, I'm talking about Psalm 22, it presents Jesus as the suffering Savior. You know, if you were to say, what was your favorite psalm, probably most of us, if 99% of us, would say Psalms 23, right? We know that one from memorial services. You know, we hear that one a lot during that time. But again, Psalms 22 presents Jesus as the suffering Savior. And it gives a graphic, this particular scripture gives a graphic account of his crucifixion, including references in the way that he would die. And we heard 23, chapter 23. But then the next verse, or the next one, Psalms 24, it speaks of Christ's return. When he comes again, he will not be wearing a crown of thorns. He will be wearing a crown of glory. And he comes to establish his kingdom here on earth. Amen? What a day that's going to be for him. I mean, you just can't even comprehend that, can you? I mean, can you really even comprehend what it's going to be like when Jesus comes to have his kingdom here on earth? I mean, it's just going to be awesome. So here we are, Psalms 22, we see Jesus as the suffering Savior. Psalm 23, we see Jesus as the good shepherd. And then Psalm 24, we see Jesus as the returning king. If we were to mix these three chapters together, guess what we would see? We would see a picture of who God is. We would see a picture of who God is in these three chapters. Now, David, he was a shepherd boy. He was also the son of a shepherd, okay? The fact that the Bible refers to David as the shepherd king of Israel. This is out of 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, and Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, there's a lot to be said about a sheep. We are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. The thing about sheep is they have a lot of strange characteristics. In other words, for example, they don't care for themselves. They need constant attention. Sheep completely depend on the shepherd for food, for protection, and for guidance. Now, to give you a good example of this, this is a true story. In Istanbul, Turkey, in 2005, one sheep jumped off the cliff, and then nearly over 1,000 other sheep followed it over the cliff. One third of them died, of those over 1,000 sheep. Not knowing what way to go. Sheep mindlessly follow other members of the flock. Okay? So in Isaiah it says 53:6, it says, "We all, like sheep, we tend to go our own way, yet we desperately need the sure direction of a shepherd." So in John 10, Jesus says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own sheep, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. And then it goes on, it says, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. The theme of God as shepherd and his people as sheep are repeated throughout Scripture. I'm going to just give you a few. There was a lot of them. I'm just going to give you a few. Out of Isaiah 40:11, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms. And we're going to talk about that this morning. He carries the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with her young. And then second chapter, Peter wrote, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your soul. So a shepherd comes to know the unique characteristic of every single sheep that knows his name. So in Psalms, it says in 139, you know when I sit down. This is David talking. He's saying to the Lord, you know when I sit down and stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I am far away. So not only does God, the Good Shepherd, know our natures, but he knows our needs. And when God looks at us, he knows the deepest needs that we have. So I found another great example of a need. This is a true story. It's about William Cowper. He was born in 1739 and he lived to 1800. This is the story. This man suffered from a great mental anguish. At times he even considered taking his own life. And one night, in such a mood, he summoned a horse-driven cab or carriage and asked to be taken to the Thames River. But the city of London was blanketed with such thick fog that the driver lost his way. Okay? At last, William, he's frustrated because, you know, it's taken him so long to get him to the river. He jumps off the carriage, determined to find his watery grave unassisted. He was going to do it himself. Groping through the fog, he was astonished when he discovered that he was back at his own doorstep. Falling on his knees, he thanked the Lord for the fog he had sent over London, which had prevented him from committing suicide. So sometimes when we don't even realize that we have a need, God makes a way. God makes a way. And again, it brings us back to, we all, like sheep, we tend to go our own way. And that's certainly what William was trying to do, do a thing his own way. Yet, God desperately, desperately does whatever it takes to get your attention. And that's exactly what he did by bringing that fog over London. Amen? So this morning I have a question for you, talking about sheep and shepherds. Is it true that a shepherd would use a rod to break the leg of a wandering sheep? Yes or no? Yes, he would. Yes, he would, and this is the reason. You see, if the sheep or the lamb kept wandering off and kept going its own way, it's only opening itself up to predators. It's only opening itself up to getting lost. It's only opening itself up to be lonely. And it's also, again, just like the sheep, the one sheep that jumped the cliff, it's also going to possibly lead others astray. So yes, the shepherd, out of love, he takes the right correction. It would take his right correction and break the leg of that lamb or that sheep so that he could actually save it in the long run. Okay? Then he would take that lamb after he's broke that leg. He's going to pick that lamb up and he's going to carry him on his shoulders. He's going to carry him on his shoulders. Now, the good shepherd is the same way. Sometimes he takes right corrections with us, doesn't he? Sometimes, you know, Cheryl and I were praying earlier, and I said, you know, Cheryl, we're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, because Satan wouldn't be fighting us so hard if we weren't. If we were doing what he wanted, he wouldn't bother us at all. He wouldn't attack us at all. So, you know, if you feel like, you know, you're being attacked, or, you know, God's not paying attention to you, that's a lie from the pits of hell that God's not paying attention to you. He is. It's just that you are being attacked because you are at the right place at the right time doing the right thing that he's called you to do. And Satan is doing everything he can to get your focus off of what you're doing and get it on yourself and what you're dealing with. Now, here's another true story that goes with this. There was a sheep farmer recently shared a story. He says, I had to carry a lamb once. They called him Rascal. That was his name, Rascal. It was very appropriate because he just kept busting out of the fences. And one day he got himself caught in the fence and he hurt himself. So he picks him up and he's going to put him over his shoulders and he's going to carry him to the building where he could get some rest and get some healing. But on his way carrying him to the building, that sheep pooped on him and peed on him. But because he loved that sheep, that little rascal, and he wanted to get him better, he tolerated it. But think about that. Think about that. If back then, when David was a shepherd, and he took care of his sheep, if he had to take the right of correction to a sheep or a lamb by breaking its leg, and what he does is he picks that lamb up and he puts it on his shoulders. He carries that lamb around with him all the time. Don't you think that that lamb is going to pee and poop on him too? Probably. Now think about this though. The love that that shepherd must have for his sheep. Because they're out there in the middle of nowhere in a shepherd's, you know, in a sheep field. And is there a place for him to go take a quick shower? No. Maybe there might be a watering hole where he can kind of clean up a little bit. But think about it. They're out there for days and weeks at a time. And yet he still tolerates it. And he knows when he picks him up, there's a good chance it's going to happen again. But the great thing is this. When he picks up that lamb, and he picks him up day after day after day after day, and he starts to heal, you can bet that that lamb is going to hear his voice, and he's going to follow him wherever he goes. He's probably not going to leave his side. And see, that's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him. He wants us to have that same kind of closeness, dependency on him, focus on him. Now, I remember, you know, I was saying to the Lord on Monday, this last Monday, I go, Lord, actually, on the way home from church Sunday, I was going, Lord, I've given messages of discipline two or three Sundays in a row. I want to be more, I mean, is it okay, Lord? But I want to feed them something positive. I want to encourage them this time with the next, you know, with the next message. So, Lord, I mean, if that's, you know, if that's okay with you, unless you've got something else, Lord, that's what I feel like we should do, something to encourage them this week. And here I am studying this, and this is what it says. What is the desire of God, of the good shepherd for his sheep? He desires his flock to flourish. That's positive. That's encouraging. He also wants them to be well-fed and cared for. He also wants them to be content and satisfied. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who sacrificed his life for his sheep. Abundant life that Jesus spoke of may not necessarily, I love this, I'm going to say it again, abundant life that Jesus spoke of may not necessarily be a long life. Well, some of us know of loved ones that have not had a long life. But if they knew Christ, their life was full. It was a full life. Remember the story I told of Kimberly? I can't think of the title of it. Tim and I were talking about it, where she dies at a young age of 16 or 17 years old of a disease that, you know, and yet through the whole story, it tells of her love of the Lord and her faith in the Lord, how it affected this high school that she was going to. It was just amazing to see how it turned so many lives around. So yes, she did not have a long life, but she certainly had a full life. It shows through the whole movie how full her life was. And that's the thing that we've got to realize, that, you know, our loved ones, you know, some of them passed away maybe, as we think, too soon. But yet God says the time that they had was enough. And I filled their life because I was part of their life. You know, medical science has brought breakthroughs of late that might extend our lives, but only Jesus can add life to our years. Only Jesus can add life to our years. In Psalms 23:2, it says, "The good shepherd's it is the good shepherd's joy to lead us to green meadows and peaceful streams, beside peaceful dreams," as Bill was reading. John 10:10, Jesus not only promises life beyond the grave, but he also says, "My purpose is to give them riches and satisfying life." Contentment. He wants us to be content with who we are, with what God's called us to do. He wants us to be content. It is a great thing to have in our lives. It's a gift from God. In Philippians 4, Paul says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty or little, for I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me." Just as Kay said earlier, as followers of Christ, our contentment doesn't come from what we have. It comes from who we know. That's where we find contentment, is in who we know. Therefore, being content doesn't mean that we need a lot, but rather being content regardless of what we have. Of what we have. We know that this to be true because, you know, we hear of people that have all the money, and yet they're miserable. You see their marriages falling apart. You see their lives falling apart. You see that some that are addicted to drugs, that they're addicts. So money is not the answer. Because we know by seeing others that they have all the money they could ever ask for. A good example of that was Solomon. He had everything. He had wives. He had everything he could have asked for. And yes, in his reign, he asked for wisdom. But then he just got further and further away from the Lord. We can find contentment in our relationship with, of course, only the Good Shepherd. In closing, in Luke 12, Jesus said, "So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." Hebrews 13 tells us, "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." We all know that God is not angry with us. We know that he is not reluctant to wanting to help us and to be a part of our lives. He loves us and has a tender heart towards us. It gives him great pleasure to give us the kingdom and his blessings. So as we trust Christ, not only does he forgive us of our sins, but he also puts his righteousness in our spiritual account. We all have a spiritual account, and that spiritual account is renewed every morning. That's what it says in Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never ever come to an end. They are new every morning. So that's telling us that our spiritual account is always full. It's always full. All we have to do is take it. Take it. because it belongs to us. Jesus paid a high price so that we could have those blessings. So in the morning, don't feel like you're being greedy when you start saying, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. And I'm ready for those blessings. I'm ready to step out and use those blessings to be a blessing to others. You know, again, they use the sheep and the shepherd a lot of times in Scripture. But the bottom line is today, because of Christ, we, because of what he did for us on the cross, we can stand before the Father in righteousness. Therefore, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And yet, he is still our shepherd. He knows our every need. He knows our every desire. He knows our character. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our lack. But he never stops loving us. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we belong to you, that we are your sons and your daughters, and whom you love, and you take such care, such good care of each and every one of us. And Father, we love you and we trust you. So Father, lead us as we go into this next week. We know that because of your steadfast love, that you will never leave us, and that your mercies will never come to an end, and that your mercies are new every morning. And great, great, great is your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.